This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy! The number one fuckboy! The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout-out. Mike's starting to smell like my breath. That's disgusting. Artie is into it. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios for the first time, an equally high-energy guy. You're pumped to have him here. Guys, put your proverbial digital hands together for Mike Lawrence.
Hey,
Mike.
How's it going, man? You said you were going to do like a really douchebag intro, and I didn't realize it was just going to be every Jerky Boys cassette tape.
You found out my
family. Did all the characters. That they, we do a faster age. Yo, motherfuckers! Hey! I the Jerky Boys!
I would say one of the major factors in my comedic taste growing up was brought on by Frank Rizzo, the Jerky Boys character.
Yeah, fair enough.
Asbestos, I eat the shit. I put mustard on it and I eat it.
Well, that was that sad era when if anything was popular, they had to give it a movie.
Right.
It didn't even matter if it worked as a movie. They're like, people like it. Here's a movie.
Prank phone calls are about as far away from a movie as you could possibly get.
And they're like, oh, it's just the guys that do the voice. Ooh.
Oh, wait. Are they good actors? Oh, no. Don't worry.
And they had to fit in as many scenes of them, like, doing the prank phone calls.
The shooting.
Well, that was like basketball was one of those. They're like, people like South Park. We got to give these guys something. And so there's just a scene where Trey's doing the Cartman voice for no reason. Like, get that money.
It's like when you when someone is announced as a new cast member on SNL, they have to like show their three impressions in the first episode. So you're like, oh, he's the Italian character guy.
Yeah. And they don't even have a good context for it anymore. It's just, look at all these stars. And it's just the same three people coming out as all the different guys.
I loved the first time they did the Star Wars audition sketch. I loved it. I was like, what a great premise in order to just a parade of impressions. Yeah. And now we're just like, they do
all of it
every third episode.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, realize until much older, like, oh, this whole show is just talented people reading cue cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Wait, whole time.
When was the most, I just watched the Franco episode.
Oh, and that's the most blatant I've ever seen.
I like started to notice the eye lines of SNL where it's just like.
Yeah. Well, it's like no one's talking to each other.
Right.
Like, well, they did a sketch with a bunch of kids.
Right. Oh, the Santa. That's where it was the most apparent. Yeah.
And it was just, and I get why, but it was so uncomfortable because they're just like looking and then they're laughing and getting the lines wrong.
The pros know how to do it, but like
putting no acting.
Right.
It was just
people standing still reading.
And they clearly didn't understand what they were saying, but the whole point is that the kids are supposed to be so much more knowledgeable than the adults.
Right.
It's so weird.
Yeah. It's almost as if they are seeing it for the first time.
Dan, what do you think about police decriminalization?
Let me give you a little mic a boost up here.
Oh, nice.
You can take it out if you want. You can move it, talk as close as you want. It all works, Mike.
Yeah.
As always on this podcast, we're going to, of course, talk about something comic book related. You don't invite Mike Lawrence into your home without having to fucking answer the three riddles of Wolverine. But before
without the dog realizing it's no longer the ugliest thing in a house.
Yeah, my dog dragged over his bed and asked Mike if he wanted to lie in it. I'm going to read some negative reviews of my podcast. So as always, listeners, if you rate me 5 stars on iTunes and then roast me in the comments, I will read it on whatever you call this, air, live, digital, however you call it. This is from Strayne, the title of the review is My Opinion. I actually hate you. You are both a jock and a nerd, and I was a nerd in high school. I only listen to your stupid podcast to hear the ads. I love SiriusXM and that underwear company. Okay, it's not really, that's actually more of a compliment than anything else. And it's funny to call me a jock now at 35 and 100 pounds overweight.
You literally look like you produced the Jock Jams albums. That's the closest thing to jock.
The only time I'm considered a jock is amongst UCB and stand-up people. Like, it's all signs like, oh, you watched football.
Yeah, if you can't see, you can't see John because it's a podcast now, but he's dressed like Heavy D on his day off. When the boys aren't around. When he's boysless Heavy D.
It's once he's found love, now he's not sure what he's going to do. Here's another review from someone called Erg. When you're here is the title of the review. Listening to High and Mighty is like going willingly to eat at the Olive Garden. You're going to get something vaguely Italian that at first will make you think, hey, this isn't so bad, before you begin to realize what you are experiencing is causing you to rot from the inside, causing you to leave with diarrhea and unfathomable regret. Would smash 5 stars.
I'd say the regret is fathomable.
Yeah, I mean, you can wrap your head around
it. Yeah, I'm feeling 50 fathoms of regret.
I would say the only issue is if the only thing that would make High and Mighty better would be unlimited breadsticks.
Yeah.
What a sweet addition if I was fresh baking breadsticks.
My sister works at an Olive Garden, so when I am there, I am literally with family.
I'm family. And the guy's like, all right, sir, we get it. No, you don't understand.
Yeah.
It's weird when you go with your wife and you like try to kiss her. They say, you guys are family now. You're sisters.
And then there's an old man. He's like, I'll allow it. Mi scusi. It's okay.
An old Italian judge care. I'll allow it.
It's not a really incense in the same way this isn't a really a pasta.
Something I love about Olive Garden is the idea of the meal that's called the Tour of Italy, which is just the 3 most American Italian dishes jammed onto one plate, and you're supposed to feel cultured for eating it. It's like,
but you do feel like you're on a tour. You're not in Italy, but you're just on a tour.
I have lower back pain, and and somebody's speaking way too loudly on this bus.
This is going longer than I hoped.
This review is from Kimbo Not Kimmy, called Way Overdue Roast. Sometimes when I listen to High and Mighty, I think, how crazy is it that the same person who called me arm hair in high school? I'm so glad he spent this time owning his craft and elevating his sense of humor from the days when he declared me the black hole of comedy and would do anything for a laugh. Oh, wait, 5 stars. Still telling everyone we know to listen to both podcasts. Oh, my God. This is a girl I went to high school with named Kim. She was the coolest. We were buds. But she did have black arm hair, like, because she was a brunette woman, and I made up.
I'm going to say anything, but I think we made fun of Italy enough.
Right. Wow, I appreciate me sort of bullying you in high school and sticking around. I can't believe you're listening to this. Excuse me. I just realized I have, like, a high school fact checker listening now. I can't fucking rewrite history.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I'm choking on on nostalgia of talking to Kimmy. All right, last one, guys, and we'll get into it. Large Guyland is, that's a good one, Long Island. Maybe if we name a sandwich after him, he'll go away, is the title of the review. That's right, your third favorite character from Santa's of the Barn has a podcast. Who knew? Tune in to hear Joseph Gordon-Levittown get baked and struggle with audio engineering, just like that one character of his that pays the bills. 10 out of 10 for the one episode with his wife. Oh, okay, cool, thanks.
I'll say Joseph Gordon-Levittown is a pretty good pun. That's clever.
That's great. And it makes sense. I'm from Long Island. It just, only Joey Gordon-Levitt was fat, then they would have it sold.
Yeah.
It would be a check all 3 boxes.
Yeah.
You're a roaster of sorts, right?
Yeah.
I've seen you
on
the roast battle a handful of times.
Yeah.
Have you ever been labeled as something that really stuck, like that you laughed about or will continue to laugh about? You get a dig or a line about yourself that, like, because you almost want to ask permission. You're like, can I have this since it's about me?
When someone makes fun of me?
Yeah. Well,
it's funny when I battle, my wife gives 2 shits about what I say about other people. She's like, what do they say about you?
She's like, I know you. I don't know so-and-so.
Yeah, I get a lot of looks, homeless stuff, and I do. The best one I ever heard was Scott Chaplin. I made a joke about his dad dying, and he's like, my dad's watching me, you know, watching down on me from heaven. Your dad won't even watch you when you're on Seth Meyers. And it's like, it's great.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one cuts deep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still hold on to Chunk Norris from high school because I did karate and someone called me Chunk Norris and it fucked me up for 20 years now.
I hope that person wrote on at midnight.
If not, that is their pass to get a job right there.
Yeah.
So, Mike, we wanted to talk. MCU, DCEU, because rather than let you just continually post on Twitter and Facebook about it,
yeah.
I thought let's engage in person.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, people still do that?
Well, to be fair, we're engaging in person to record it, to try, and yeah, to yeah, then yeah. tweet about it later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're engaging in the same way that the Tour of Italy is a Tour of Italy.
Right? Yeah. We're both playing hyped up personas, versions of ourselves, having yeah. a chat on microphones.
There's
it's great.
There's never been a dialogue or conversation about comic book movies. They're just two monologues happening yeah. at the same time. Right. And then,
but you can always just start your monologue with yes. So yeah. it sounds like you're having a conversation. I'll start it off by... This is the first, like, the last couple of Marvel movies that came out, and I'll lump Star Wars into this, too, but we'll mostly be talking about Marvel. I have not been excited. Like, not that I've been, oh, this looks bad. I'm just like, oh, now that there's, like, one a quarter,
yeah.
it's a hard time to, like, it's a lot. If you would have told 13-year-old Gabrus eventually a Marvel or a Star Wars movie is going to come out and you're going to wait to see it on DVD or streaming, I would have been like, are you fucking kidding me? Yet, that's what I've been doing.
Well, I think a part of the problem is that, you know, some of it is that we're older, that we work in show business, and then a lot of it is the marketing that there's no illusion that these are considered properties anymore.
Right.
And so it like the honeymoon phase is definitely order over, you know, it's like right. when they go to Comic-Con, they're like, here are our quarterly releases. And they, and then we use these terms when we say expanded universe oh, and MCU
right.
and DCU, like that's like, it's hard to like fall in love in the same way. I think like, I love a lot of this stuff, but that initial magic is certainly gone. I think one of the things that really sucks is the discovery of trailers. I don't like that we see them all on our phones first. I don't know why they can't have them theatrically released just even for a day or two.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't like time. They literally have movies coming out every 2 or 3 months.
Yes, yes.
Why doesn't the Avengers trailer premiere before Thor?
Yeah.
Right. Like, and why wouldn't the Avengers feature the Black Panther? You know, whatever the timing of it
or
needs
even,
to be.
You know, it's like when Coco comes out and that's Disney.
Right.
And then Infinity War comes out a week later. Just have it with Coco for that initial weekend.
Right.
People will go see it. I mean, it's like they did that Infinity War teaser trailer at Comic-Con, and the only versions that you could see were poorly leaked. Like, just, you know, and so people waited, like, months. You know, that was in July
right,
or August,
yeah.
and then people were like, no, we'll wait till November. And so I think...
I'll wait to watch it on my phone, at
yeah.
least in HD, but still on a 3-inch screen.
Yeah, because I think that when you watch it on the phone, the two things happen. One, the grandiose nature of these is gone. And two, it's less about the movie itself and what you think of the movie and more about what you can immediately say and add to the conversation.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's the hot take culture thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
because the reality is the trailers are the main events now. Like, lots of people will end up not seeing the movie, but they're all going to comment on the trailer.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for everyone to be a part of that.
And I hate this thing now when you're like, oh, I want to see the Ragnarok trailer. I haven't seen that yet. You type in like Ragnarok trailer on YouTube and there's like 1,000 things.
It's all people talking
and
about it.
It's all people talking about it, talking over it, like 22 hidden Easter eggs you wouldn't recognize from and also Easter eggs have become like IMDb trivia in that the bar is so low for what
yeah.
constitutes. You're like, see this here? That's Jeff Goldblum. He is an actor. You're like, this is not an Easter egg.
And it's like, thank God we're talented and don't have to do those videos. Like, I think about that. I mean...
Oh, I've done so many jobs that are just adjacent to that I'm like,
yeah.
where I'm like, hey, you know, this is coming soon to theater. And I hate myself. But
it's not actual about being funny or commentary. It's just like helping sell things. Oh my God, look at that. Right. Oh my God, you know.
But it's also like partially, as much as it's that, it's also partially latching your little carriage onto the horses that is the Marvel trailer moment to be like, well, if I get 150,000 views because I have Ragnarok in my search term, cool, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's
like
weird.
It's like weirdly like monetizing more and more, like entire pop-up businesses and economies have been around trailers.
Yeah, and it's funny, like I know a lot of like nerd journalists and they all have to write the same like crappy articles, like what do the end credits of Guardians 2 mean? And it's like there's nothing about like the history of Jim Starlin or just fun things, right, about like how they felt when they read the Infinity Gauntlet for the first time. It's just the same information. And
well, it's because
did you know that Stan Lee is the Watcher? And
it's, it's weird because, oh man, you just said like 8 points I want to talk about. So the one that really stood out to me was these like nerd journalists, people who like that's been a genre for a while, video game journalists, whatever. But they don't have to. The reason you used to want to go to a nerd journalist was like they know a lot about like, so a lot of people don't know this about this character, but he's actually instead it's just like this is my just direct reaction to what I saw, which is the same thing anyone can do.
Yeah.
And then if you are going to listen to someone's reaction, why listen to a journalist when you could listen to someone who's like charismatic or entertained? And then all of a sudden it's like the onus isn't on like knowledge and interesting points anymore. It's just like. I mean, we went through the phase in like the early 2000s where it's just like, who's got big tits and no and can pronounce the Marvel characters' names, right?
And then G4 clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that I
thought, offense to my favorite Daily Show correspondent, Olivia Munn.
I'm a big Pereira guy.
It goes for me. It goes Lewis Black, Beth Littleford, Samantha P., Olivia Munn in front of all of them.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And then I think trailers are fucking ruining everything.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
That's hyperbole to say trailers
are ruining everything.
Roy Moore is the reason behind trailers. This will come out in like three weeks and no one will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we're just lightly ribbing newly elected Senator Roy Moore. The fate of the... quick tangent aside, but when Mitch McConnell was like, I leave this to the people of Alabama. And like, no!
Yeah, it's like, the aliens are invading. It's okay. The people of Alabama... fuck, we're fucked.
Yeah. Randy Quaid can take out one ship. He ain't saving the world.
Right. Let's get a scientist in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, trailers feel like... Now we get trailers to the trailers. I know this is like hack territory, but...
But we get trailer 2 and 3. Like, why do you need more than one?
And then some of them, like, really burn them for me. Like especially a comedy, it'll hit you with, like, 3 of the funny set pieces, and you'll be so pissed to have, like, learned them. Like, it's one thing to be like, you got to show Spider-Man fucking webbing around, so you're like, cool, I'm excited to see Spider-Man. Yeah. But at this point, do we not know what these movies are going to be? Like, Beyonce, that shit. What if the fucking Last Jedi... People are going to see the Last Jedi, whether there's a trailer or not.
Yeah,
just drop the fuck... Just say it comes out December 15th and just fucking let people... I feel like that would be such a baller move.
Yeah.
But they must make so much money off trailers.
Well, I think just making them simpler, you know, like there was, I remember, I think it was when it was Spider-Man 3, there was a trailer for The Dark Knight and, you know, which wasn't coming out for another 14 months, I think. And the entire trailer is just audio clips. Like, and you're seeing, all you're doing is you're physically just watching on the screen the Batman logo getting closer and closer.
Oh,
and
shit.
You hear Heath Ledger just go, people will die. I'm a man of my word. And that's it. And there's like a clip of Gordon. I think there's a clip of, you know, Alfred and Batman, but there's no visual stuff. And you're like, oh my God. Because, now you're having to imagine what it's going to be.
Right, and you're getting excited for it like a trailer is supposed to do.
Yeah, and so when you, you know, like, let's talk about this newest Infinity War trailer where you literally show the Vision's gem. I will be saying gem only. Go fuck yourself. When you're seeing the Vision's, you know, mind gem get removed, it's like, that shouldn't be in the trailer.
Yeah, like, because you kind of know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it is a moment you're waiting to see, yeah, in a way. So, like, to just show it, it feels, it's almost like, it feels like to me, it's like you're about to have sex with your dream, with a dream girl, and you just quickly show your flaccid dick before, like, just, hey, look at this, this, yeah, is gonna, okay, and then back to it, it's like, oh, you kind of took the excitement out of it for me.
Yeah, like, even if we know that Spider-Man's gonna win, you know, in that first trailer, It was pretty much in sequence.
Right.
Yeah. It was like he stops the guys in the Avengers mask. Then, you know, the ferry blows up. The Washington Monument blows up. Tony Stark scolds him, says, you're not ready for this. And then he's like, I got to do it on my own.
We know Michael Keaton's the bad guy the whole time.
Oh, he even said, I'll kill your family and everyone you love. Right, you see him as the Vulture.
Right.
Like, it literally, you know, Gonki sees him with the mask off.
Yeah, which was like such a cool element of the movie.
But it was just like every, but like beat by beat.
Yeah, and it was a 2.5 minute version of the film.
It literally was. Yeah. And it is this thing, like, it's almost like a lack of trust. I get it for unknown properties.
Like, I would say, if you're throwing Guardians of the Galaxy out there, maybe you should have, like, a meet Drax, meet Rocket, you know, meet so-and-so. And yeah, then that way you can go from there, and you're like, you got it. But, like, if it's Spider-Man, you're just like, trust me, Tom Holland looks cool as Peter Parker. Look at how cool the graphics look when he swings. Here's a glimpse of a set piece in the movie.
I thought the first Guardians trailer was really great with like Jaimin Hinsu, and he's like, I'm Star-Lord, and he's like, who?
Yeah.
And they show their like quick dossiers, and you know, we're the Guardians, but you don't know that they're fighting Ronin. You don't, right, know everything.
You don't know that they're fighting the other cosmic being that shoots energy from some big weapon. Yeah. Like, it's like the go-to in the Marvel Universe bad guy.
Oh, yeah, with the the faceless army of great things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, I mean, just saw Ragnarok and I fucking loved it. But the stakes for like bad guys in the Marvel Universe is just like, it doesn't feel like.
No. No, and that's the transparency of all of this, that because they're seen as properties and because it's all about getting to the next thing and setting up the next thing and Thor having to like take a dip in a exposition pool and all of that stuff, the villains do kind of get shut out.
Right.
You know,
because they're one-off movie things potentially, except for Thanos, who's been teased now for 20 films.
Yeah. And so when you think about it, like, I think the thing that people don't do enough with these movies is just judge them as movies. Like, if you hold them up to other action films and things like that. And so, like, if we look at these movies in comparison to, you know, like some of the best action movies, that's where I think they really fall apart.
Because, yeah,
it's like, if you look at, like, I mean, probably the best action movie villain is Hans Gruber, right?
Right.
He's, yeah, up there.
Yeah, without, yeah, a doubt.
Yeah. And what they're able to do in Die Hard is that everyone gets to matter, even people that have two lines or three lines, the limo driver at the beginning.
Argyle, yeah.
Yeah, even, you know, the two helicopter guys.
Who have Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson, yeah. And that's literally, what, five lines?
Yeah.
There's
We're like, dining! And he's firing the rounds. And then there's even Hans Booby, like the fucking, the joke guy gets a little scene where you give a shit about him.
Yeah, but like Johnson and Johnson, where the one guy is like this crazy military dude who's still in Nam, and the other guy who's just trying to do his job. And it's like, there's a whole narrative there. Like, we've never gotten that with like the Warriors 3. Like,
right.
You know, we've never gotten that with a lot of these other characters because it's all about the hero's the only one that matters.
Right. And then it's like, cool, look, you can see this character. Look, there's that character. There's Sylvester Stallone as that character. Moving on, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
It's almost as if like a sizzle reel of just like, look who's like, that's what the Avengers trailer felt like a little bit too. Was like,
yeah.
Look at how many people we put in one movie. And you're like, oh. Yeah.
And it's always about building up to the next thing. But the problem is you have to entertain people now also. And I think that that's where they really fall apart sometimes. And it's like, I think Ragnarok did a really good job. You know, like Taika, I think, put his own personality into it,
yeah,
which a lot of the directors fail to do. But he was like, I'm going to make a me movie and also make the Marvel movie I'm supposed to make. And
right.
So it's like, well, look, if the villain only gets 15 minutes anyways, because you guys won't budge on that, here's Kate Blanchett chewing scenery.
Right. And she was fucking great. It was so fun. Yeah.
But then one of the other problems is that like with Scourge, his sacrifice comes straight from the comics, issue 362, Walt Simonson. But you don't feel the emotion of that because he wasn't set up. It was just
yeah,
like,
and he
I'm
was
just going to go die now.
He was like one of those characters, and who was the rock guy that Taika...
Korg.
Korg. Those two characters had like such a chunk of the movie, but you didn't know like really anything or care for them. Because when like they set up Scourge as like... He's like macking on those two chicks to be macking on. Jesus Christ, I'm 35. Yeah. He's like macking on those two chicks. And it's like, is he a good guy? And are we supposed to like care? And then when he turns bad so quickly, you're like, he's about to cut that fucking woman's head off.
Yeah. And it's less about, oh, this guy's important. And I think he's supposed to be important.
Right.
Like that's a lot of it. And, you know, Mortal Kombat Annihilation kind of did that where it's like, you know, you like Baraka. Here's Baraka.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, but I want him with some kind of story or just say, no. Here, you get it.
Yeah. It's like the deep, like just like in Street Fighter, the movie, they're like Cammy, you know, like they casually just mentions like when Remy LeBeau's name is in the first X-Men movie on like a sheet of paper, you're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It works. But then you can't extrapolate that out to.
Yeah.
I mean, they're putting out like 25 hours of Marvel movies a year. It's like they're so long. And
it's all about getting to the next one. And so you don't really like
it. You have all these like medium step bad guys where it's like.
Like I loved Ragnarok. I think it was one of the best ones they did because Taika did get to be himself.
It was truly funny. It was at parts. It was beautiful. Like the garbage world looked amazing. Looked like a Kirby drawing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's like, they are picking and choosing how they want to set things up. So it's like, they'll build Thanos for 6 years, but then they're also like, oh, by the way, Thor, you have a sister and she's the goddess of death. Like what?
Yeah.
You never heard of her?
Guys, it's time to turn on the joy. And it's so easy to listen to SiriusXM wherever you're going this holiday season and in 2018. No car required. You can stream on your computer or on your Android or iPhone using the Sirius app. Plus, you can stream tons of devices, including Alexa, Google Home, Sonos, Roku, or PlayStation. You know me and my wife have the holiday channel going. You know we're listening to Howard in the Morning off of Alexa. You can hear the best SiriusXM has to offer, man. Commercial-free music, exclusive sports, talk, comedy, entertainment programming, access to hundreds of on-demand shows, a custom-mixed SiriusXM music and comedy channels, so you can hear more of what you want, from NFL and NBA to Howard Stern and Ricky Gervais. You could stream it all. I know, I'm just powering through that because I want to say I've been listening to my Howard in the Morning off of Alexa, and then in the car I've been listening to a lot of Fly, get myself some 90s hip-hop and R&B, a little First Wave, you know, with Josiah. Wait, or is Josiah on XMU? Either way, I'm mixing it up all over the place, but don't worry about it. Don't have a subscription to stream SiriusXM? We can get you one. Sign up now for 6 months for $30. That's just $5 a month. Go to SiriusXM.com/HeadGum. SiriusXM.com/HeadGum. Check out hundreds of channels for every mood, now synced to every device. Sign up today, or to see offer details, head to SiriusXM.com/HeadGum. Ooh, I know it's Thursday because you're listening to High and Mighty. I hope that's the day that your HelloFresh delivery comes, because you could choose your delivery day. Make it work for your schedule. You can pause for weeks at a time when you're out of town. You know what I'm talking about, right? HelloFresh, the meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers all your favorite step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients. So all you have to do is cook, eat, enjoy. All right? And it's so easy. It's convenient. All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits. You know, like which ingredients go with which recipes. You're like, oh, here's my little bag for salmon. Dink. You get it delivered right to your door. Recyclable, insulated packaging. All right. It's very flexible. You can go with a classic meal plan, a veggie meal plan, or a family meal plan. No offense to the veggies, but I'm almost never choosing that. I actually chose family so I could have twice the amount of food. And, you know, order the meal service for the life you want. You know, like you dress for the job you want. Order the HelloFresh meal plan for the life you want. And that life has a family and double the amount of food. As for me, I've been enjoying cooking meals. I feel like a real, like, I feel like an, like I'm Jason Bourne. Like I'm some sort of like Bear Grylls survival expert. When my wife comes home and I have a meal done, I'm like, here you go, babe. Do you want lobster ravioli and shrimp with tomatoes and tarragon cream sauce? Peace. Or how about the Juicy Lucy burger with tomato onion jam and arugula salad? Bonk. The tomato onion jam was straight fire. Okay, I can't believe I just said that. And as always, you've heard me say it before, but my favorite dish was that ground turkey stuffed pepper. Ooh, man, it was spicy, yummy, and hella good. All right, guys, go to HelloFresh.com and enter promo code MIGHTY30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. And setting up the bad guy for so many movies feels like in, I have this big thing with action movies where like Steven Seagal kicks the shit out of like 50 expertly trained Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
But then they have to like justify why the fight against the leader who is just either another guy or possibly even older, less skilled.
Who is sometimes Eric Bogosian.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in Dark Territory, you're like, yeah, it makes sense that he's fighting commandos up until that point, but then to square off against Eric Bogosian, it loses its teeth a little bit because you're like, I know you can kick this guy. This guy's only in charge because of it. So it's like Thanos is like now for like 8 movies, we've been told that like he's slowly going to become the most powerful. And I don't know what the like when he comes on screen, are we going to be like, holy shit, this is for he's going to have to fucking like rip Captain America's head off or something in like the opening scene of.
No, I mean, I think they've really bungled it. I wrote about this when the Infinity trailer came out.
Yeah, but this is what inspired me to have this entire conversation with you was that Facebook rant.
Okay.
So let's get into it. I like this because I felt the same way.
So, you know, we first see Thanos at the end of Avengers 1 in 2012, which is a long time ago, which, as I pointed in that trailer, Barack was still in his first presidency. He was ramping up against Romney. Like, that's how long ago that was. There was an adult named Mitt Romney, and we thought he could have a position of all-encompassing power. So he is at the end of that, and he just smiles. He's played by, like, just some stunt guy or whatever.
Right. It's not Brolin yet.
No. And that's so weird to me to have the guy who's supposed to be the big bad that you're leading up to, and you haven't even cast the person that's eventually going to play him.
Yeah.
When you put him on screen. Like, that's
lazy. Such confidence in Thanos, who you would have to be slightly above an average Marvel reader to know or care about Thanos. You would have to know what the Crisis on the Infinity Gauntlet series is. Like, you would have to know that.
Which is 25 years old.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yeah,
and
so
who are these movies? These movies are for not for 35-year-old comic book fans.
No.
They're for 15-year-old kids. Yeah. And how the fuck, like,
they're for 6-year-old kids, even.
Yeah, arguably. Yeah, and who gives a shit about Thanos?
Yeah, so you have him at the end of that, and that you know, it makes sense. You know, his advisor is the one who agreed to give the soldiers, and he says, you know, this is to court death, and then you see Thanos smile because it's like he loves death. You're like, okay, then nothing for 2 years with Guardians. You see him again. Now it's Brolin, but he looks completely different.
Right. Technology's advancing, and they're figuring out the character.
Yeah, and Ronan betrays him. He doesn't do anything about it, and you're like, he's on screen for like 1 minute. Thanos, and Ronan kills like his henchman guy, and you're like, well, okay. And Thanos is like, that's cool, and that's it. And then 2015, Avengers 2. He's like, I guess I'll do it myself. And you're like, do what yourself? Like, nothing's been explained.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know. And then not mentioned again until Guardians 2. In the past, it's just Nebula and Gamora talking about him as a father. And I thought that was good character development. You got to hear about him as a person, the abuse that he put those two women under. You're like, okay. And then now you see his ship in Ragnarok and that's it. But it's like, he said, I guess I'll do it myself. That was 3 years ago. Do what? I don't know. And what did you get done?
Yeah, because it's all going to start in Infinity War. Yeah. It's not like he's secretly gotten a couple of steps done. We're going to watch it all, most likely.
Yeah, and we're going to have to explain who he is in full detail. There's going to be the whole origin story. And it's like, he's been around for 6 years. Shouldn't we know by now?
Yeah, they're not harnessing their idea of the extended universe that much in that we're... Like, I thought the best example of that so far was Tom Holland in Civil War. Because it was like, oh, Spidey fits in well. He's got a great, like, chunk of time here. We see him be cool. And that made me excited for Homecoming. I was like, oh, okay, this is actually pretty cool that this, and the kid is good as Peter Parker, and it's fun to see him and RDJ do shit. And yeah. I was like, that's the first time I thought that they used the power of the extended universe to their, like, because why wouldn't we know Ant-Man so much more?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Ant-Man fan, but I think the use of Falcon in that made a lot of sense. That felt really comic booky to me, that he would be like one of the guys that's like on reserve and he's got to like do that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, I like that aspect. I love Doctor Strange in Ragnarok. I thought he was way more compelling in his 2 minutes here than he was in his own film.
I agree. But you know what it was? Is because I thought in the movie, the origin story is...
I don't want to see him become Doctor Strange. I just want to see him be Doctor Strange.
Right, and he's so... He doesn't become the Sorcerer Supreme till like the end of Act Two in that movie. Yeah. And then he's like just solving the logic puzzle of Dormammu. As in this scene, I'm like, oh... This is what Strange can do. This is fucking cool. Like, I was into it at that point.
And just interacting with other people. In his own movie, it's just lesser Iron Man. It's the same story. He's a smug guy that has to learn a morality lesson.
Right, instead of a suit, he gets magic.
Yeah, and because Cumberbatch isn't as compelling as Robert Downey Jr., at least in their respective films, I just don't care as much. And I don't even buy that he's a better person at the end as much as I do Tony Stark.
I agree. The things I liked about Doctor Strange was that it was just like, at least the bad guy, defeating the bad guy at the end was different. Yeah. Like, it just like the fact that it took, rather than, all right, everyone point your energy at them, you know, which seems to be like the go-to.
But also, who was Caecilius? Like, that was dumb. He literally has the word silly in his name.
Yeah.
But then you at least look at like Jeff Bridges fighting, you know, Iron Man as like a consequence of Tony's own recklessness, that he's hurt the company and that he's, you know, like... Obadiah Stane has a logical reason for wanting to hate.
Right. We don't even know who Doctor Strange is yet, so why would we care about guys who are like the rivals to the sorcerers? Because we haven't... We're not tuning into this movie, to be honest, because we're all Doctor Strange fans. We're tuning in because it's like, oh, it's cool. It's part of the Marvel Universe. Benedict Cumberbatch, Doctor Strange, I remember being cool.
And it's the fourth quarter Marvel film.
And exactly. Yeah, and it's it's either this or, you know, a fucking medium, another medium movie. So you go to watch it and you're like, wait, I don't care. It's not like X-Men and Magneto where you're like, I hope they do Caecilius. You know, like,
no,
it's not Spider-Man. Like, he doesn't have a rogues gallery that we all care about. So I'm glad that they kind of didn't invent Hull Hog, but they kind of did with Dormammu, where it's just another. Like, to me, it's like the Guardians defeated Ronin and it took everything they had. And how different
is
Thanos?
Which was just dancing. He gets defeated by dancing. He's literally a religious zealot. He's the, you know, Fred Phelps of the Marvel Universe. His whole thing is to expunge everyone that's different than his race. But he's like, I'll wait a second. Like,
yeah. Oh, wait, what is this dancing you're doing? Yeah,
fancy
here?
Footwork.
I know. Get the fuck at. And then it's like, in the Ragnarok, it's like all the green-eyed bad guys. Like, they add, like, I think Avengers had it with the people coming out of the whatever those bad guys were in Avengers 2 or whatever.
But Ultron, or are they talking about the Ultron, the Chitarians?
The Chitarians, yeah. And Ultron, those guys all seem the same. And eventually you're looking at these like movies and they're all 2.5 hours and you're like, they're not that different from each other. And I think that's why we all clamored for fucking Ragnarok, because albeit like in its bones, it was so similar to other movies, but there was so much more levity. Yeah. And like,
well, at least he's got an eye patch at the end. Right. Like, oh, that's something.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, there's some fun choice in there. I mean, Korg was so funny.
Yeah.
The tone, like, just, it was just like and it wasn't that funny, but it felt so funny in a Marvel movie because it felt so unforced for the first time.
Well, it felt refreshing.
That's what it is, yeah.
Well, yeah, it felt like a director making a choice in a world where directors don't feel like they get to make a lot of choice.
Yeah, that's what was exciting about this movie, because I want to be like, yo, let's let Fincher do a Marvel movie and see what it looks like. I mean, that's you're a recipe for disaster there. But other up-and-coming directors, like, I feel like that's the sort of the thing is that they could do is get these up and coming directors who are a hot name, which is exciting, and then just have the Marvel overlords just hammer it into the ground.
Well, the thing is, they're also a studio that when you hear about the turmoil, like, I think it is seen on screen. You know, I think like Thor: The Dark World was one of their most tumultuous productions, and it's also their worst one by far.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they locked a director out of the edit bay. And it's also, he was Alan Taylor, who's done like Game of Thrones episodes. He's like a good work for hire,
right?
You they know, fantasy from, guy. But
and then Kenneth Branagh did the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Thor Underworld or Thor Dark World, whatever it was called, was so bad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe 20% worse than any other Marvel movie, but it wasn't like egregious. It just wasn't as strong. And that's fine. I didn't know about the behind the scenes drama.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, and sometimes even like when a director is able to put their stamp on the movies, they just, like, you know, Shane Black gets some Shane Black in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
This is not a good movie, and I think Shane Black's great.
Yeah, I love Shane Black. Yeah, and me too. There is, like, those moments where you're like, this feels like a Shane Black moment. It's like Christmas, and there's a kid, like, arguing with – and you're like – but yeah. Also, like, I don't want to watch this part of Iron Man.
Yeah, well, it's also in that movie, we're talking the villains, it's like, okay, so you have Ben Kingsley, one of the best actors on the planet, playing the Mandarin, and I get, like, it's hard to do the Mandarin now, and it doesn't even make sense why they call him the Mandarin in the movie.
Right.
Like, if he's this agent of terror of some kind of, like, Islamic origin, which is what they're heavily hinting at with, you know.
Almost all of Iron Man is just like, the Middle East is coming for us.
Yeah. Which, in the comics, it was the Asians are coming for us.
Right,
the
right.
First, you know, issue even, I think, is Vietnamese, and it's, you know, Yinsen is an Asian guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, and then he's replaced with fire-breathing Guy Pearce. And you're like, see, he really was the Mandarin the whole time. It's like, but he's not Ben Kingsley playing Iron Man's most beloved, you know, villain. He's Guy Pearce breathing fire.
With an arbitrary superpower and like an arbitrary sort of like,
terrible.
Now we're afraid of him for what reason? And yeah, I think that's like the bad guys. It's hard to do the bad guys too, because they only have one movie to make you know anything about them. Or
and
care
it can't
about
really
them.
Pass over a lot of times.
Right. And they can't, yeah, they can't survive to another movie. You can't be like, look who we're dealing with again. Although, like, that is what comic books are, is like bad guys escaping or bad guy, you know. I think that would be fun to like unpack in the beginning of the next Iron Man as to why, or like the beginning of the next Spider-Man, why he has to fight Vulture again.
Well, it's like,
it's like, yeah, well, guess what happened in the in between the last two movies?
Well, they have to have enough impact to affect the movie that you're seeing now, but not enough to cross over so that the next guy who doesn't then have any impact
can
go into the next one. And it's this weird
thing. Can't eat the lunch of the other bad guys. Like, you have to be, like, if any one of the bad guys leading up to Thanos was so cool or so tough, like, Thanos would lose teeth. Yeah.
I mean, was Malekith even mentioned in, Ragnarok? No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, Loki was one of the only ones to cross over, but then it's like Red Skull is not even mentioned. Like, I still don't, like, you took the Nazism out of Hydra, so I don't even know what they are now.
Right. They're just point? Like a wealthy organization. Yeah.
Yeah, because in the comics, it's like they're white supremacist assholes, which, that's exactly who took over our country now.
Right. So
that would be interesting.
What would be so wrong about it?
It's so weird that we could have Nazis in the actual White House, but we don't want them in movies because that's insensitive to children.
It would be awesome if the next Captain America movie was like him dealing with like the alt-right. Like finding out that those people, like the fucking Oath Keeper chunks are fucking, they're the new Hydra and he's got to take all these shitheads out.
Yeah, so
he'd be like, I was frozen for 50 years and I'm doing the same thing half a century later.
Yeah, so I mean, but the thing that I will say about Marvel is at least like their characters are like well-defined. Like I know who Captain America is and Thor and Iron Man and I'll even give credit that those weren't the A-listers in the comics. It was the X-Men. It was Spider-Man. And it's like they had to make them bigger out of necessity. And
like I couldn't imagine like when I was a kid being like, I can't wait to see the third Thor movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, all I cared about was like Wolverine, Spider-Man, you know, the classics, even Hulk, Fantastic Four to a degree. But then you're like, oh, we're going to make a fucking movie. Like, I love Black Widow now.
Yeah.
I mean, Scarlett Johansson has a lot to do with that. Maybe being the only female on screen for chunks of movies has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
I love Chris Evans. I've come full circle on this dude as a person.
He was the best part of the first two Fantastic Four movies.
Like
it's almost like he got to graduate.
yeah, they were like, look
man, you tried your best, and he really did.
Yeah.
He's awesome in not another teen movie.
He's so good. He's a standout. He played for like a junior college and was really good. And they were like, well, let's give him a crack at the pros, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but he never had any real competition. He was doing the Sony Fantastic movies. He's like, well, let's see how he does.
Fox. Yeah.
Oh, Fox. Right. Yeah. And he was,
you put the blame where it's deserved.
But it's so fucking like, I think I've come completely around on him as like a character. Like I was kind of like, oh, he's a little wooden. I didn't love the first Captain America. Loved fucking Winter Soldier. It was I thought Winter Soldier still might be one of the best Marvel movies.
But I think he's great in that first Captain America.
Yes.
But one of the problems in that is the villain. It's like they did a retcon for the Red Skull, which was that the Red Skull also had the formula, which he doesn't in the comics. So you're like, okay, so he's got the super soldier serum too. He's going to give him a fight. It lasts a minute and a half and he falls out the plane.
Right, and that's like the old Hulk thing too, where it's like, well, you'll fight like a Hulk-like creature, of course. You're like, that's less thrilling.
Which is weird that that's probably one of the better fights that they've still had in the entire universe is him versus Abomination. At least goes like 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah, and it's really
most of them don't go past 4.
Yeah. The Hulk Thor fight in Ragnarok was pretty fun. I thought they did a good job with that.
Well, the hero fights are, Civil War's airport scene probably is the best fight they've put on screen.
Yeah, and it's all good guys.
But it's all good guys, but it's also all people with developed characters.
Yeah, that we know and care about and know their interpersonal
shit. They don't do with the other guys, so why do I care?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, God, when Ant-Man goes big there, and I'm not a big Ant-Man fan either, I like Paul Rudd, but when Ant-Man goes big in that scene, I'm like, this is really fun.
Yeah.
This is like truly fun. It's like silly and they're fighting. Like Marvel's got like, Marvel can walk that great tone. Like, you know, where it's like, this is silly, but they are destroying houses and buildings.
Oh, yeah. And then Spider-Man competently takes him down with a plan of his own device.
Yeah.
But then for some reason in Homecoming, which is after the fact a few months later, he can't stop a simple bank robbery without a bodega exploding.
Right.
He's the reason the ferry gets ripped apart. part. Like that is a thing that they want to have it both ways. Like they needed him to be competent and cool in Civil War for you to be like, now I want to see him.
Right. But and then they have like, to like make it his origin
bumbling
story.
And yeah, stupid. Yeah. 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 So let's talk about DCU, I guess.
Yeah, let's hit that. Let's hit those a little bit. I just saw Justice League. Yeah, I know. here's literally my review. I didn't hate it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I did not feel anything. I did not like Batman versus Superman at all.
Despicable.
Yeah. That was like aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I thought Justice League, I was like, oh, yeah, but what are they doing wrong?
I think what they're doing wrong is that they don't stand for anything. Like they have no idea what they're doing, you know? And here's what feels really soulless to say as like a comedian and writer is that the studio that is run by one executive, which is Kevin Feige in Marvel, at least has a level of consistency, and they're not always making great movies, but they're not going to make anything that's too terrible. And even though Thor the Dark World is bad, it's like forgettable bad. It's not offensively bad.
Right, right. And they've also, that's one of 12.
Yeah.
So if one, like, you know, and they're averaging like the bell curve, they're hitting B minuses across the board.
And they've got DC such a
takes
strong
four
formula.
Swings and two of them are Ds. Like, you know, that's.
Yeah. Well, now it's five, but it's like, and their head of, you know, creative is, you know, Zack Snyder. It's a visionary director, and we could say whatever we want about him, but he is an auteur.
Right.
Like, he's got a style. You know, when you're watching one of his movies, and even in the, you know, he's made 3 out of 5 of these films now, and even the 2 that aren't his, which are Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad, have a lot of his touches.
They
in
have
them.
The print over, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that slow motion.
And, yeah, the ducking under a blade from the view from above is like the most Zack Snyder move. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just lean back as the sword goes over in slow motion, and camera's down looking at Gerard Butler's abs or Gal Gadot's abs.
Yeah.
But yeah, Justice League. It felt like, didn't it feel like they tried to make the Avengers without like putting in like the groundwork, even though Avengers came early, but it was coming off of like a couple of Iron Man movies, a Captain America movie with these people who are stars. And to put Justice, I guess you don't want to like Justice League after the Flash. You don't want to like wait to see a Flash movie, but at some point you can't, like all those characters were whole cloth created.
Well, the problem is with, when I watch Justice League and I'm seeing the characters on screen, like, I don't know who any of these people are supposed to be, which is a problem Marvel doesn't have. And
right.
You know, and people are like, oh, there's such obvious fanboy bias. It's like, and look, one studio has been able to have a lot more movies than this other one, but it's like, they just don't really, like, let's talk for a sec about, like, Batman, right? Like, I don't know who the DC Universe Batman is. He makes no sense to me as a character.
Right,
because
right.
And we've only seen him in 2 films, really, if we're not counting the Deadshot scene in Suicide Squad.
Right.
But he is a, like, angry, you know, guy who's been doing this for, like, over 20 years. I think they say 20 exactly. In one of the movies, and he's had a Robin who was killed by the Joker. He has the Penguin. He's got, you know, Killer Croc and Harley Quinn. You know, he a Deadshot. He's got a whole rogues gallery,
right?
But he's got the Bat Signal, a long established relationship with Commissioner Gordon, where they even, you know, joke about how he always disappears when he's about to talk to him. So all of that stuff of a classic Batman, of Batman animated series Batman, of Adam West Batman is even there. You know,
right.
The jokes kind of some Schumacherian, you know, I'm rich. That's a Schumacher joke. Like, that's that level of, you know, but it's a lot of like, he's done this before. So you have that Batman, but then you also have this guy who a lot of the cops have never heard of, who brands people, who shoots people with guns, who throws them on their necks. You know, yeah.
Who lays tortured. Traps? Like yeah. He like does.
But Aquaman hasn't heard of him. He's like, you really do dress as a bat. So how do you have a guy who fought the Penguin and has a bat signal, but then there's all these people that don't know who he is? It right. doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're right. And that does feel weird because you do know who the Tony Stark Iron Man is.
Yeah.
You know who the new Marvel Universe Iron Man is. He's like a smarmy playboy. He's witty. He's funny. He's this.
He's a celebrity.
He's a celebrity. Yeah, you know his relationships with like the public and amongst the people.
The press.
You kind of know. And so then when you're like kind of vague about it with Batman to not, because you don't have that many, he hasn't had his own standalone movie. He has Batman vs. Superman or whatever. You haven't established enough of what this new Batman is. We're leaning on a lot of old Batman stuff that like we're just supposed to know. No, and they're not revealing it. They're not giving us anything new about like, well, in the DC universe, this Batman is sort of like reluctant or something, you know, some just an interesting choice just to make. Because I'm an Affleck apologist. I think he's actually pretty good as Batman.
No. Well, he murdered people as Daredevil and now he murders them as Batman and he lied about his slave owning past and he's an awful person and he doesn't say anything about his rapist brother. So fuck him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Batman. I'm a Ben Affleck actor apologist. Let me back off. I don't stand to apologize for
he
his.
He marginalized Latinos by playing a guy named Tony Mendez in Argo. And when you see the picture of the real Tony Mendez and it looks more like Luis Guzman, you're like, why didn't he just cast Luis Guzman? But no, he's a glory hog and wanted it for himself. Fuck him.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It wasn't enough to direct that movie.
Yeah. So, but that's like what the sudden I'm like, what is this guy? And then Batman vs. Superman, he's this brooding, angry dude. But in this, he's like making jokes and they're trying to make him into Tony Stark.
And he's like trying, and it's like, he seems closed off from everyone, but then he's like maybe in love with Wonder Woman in the Justice League movie.
Well, I think like, you know, this Justice League movie was doing a lot of course correcting over Batman vs. Superman. But it's like that movie was so offensively terrible that I don't know how you can forget it. And so it's this weird thing of like, I wish this never existed. But then I'm watching Justice League and I'm like, well, how can you not acknowledge all the awful stuff that happened?
Right. And they kind of, they have to do it with like leaving Superman dead. And like, you have to like, it just, I don't know. It feels weird that so much of it for that movie was to bring Superman back, who is a character we've already seen in their own movies.
But Superman's another one who it's like, who is this version of Superman?
Yeah, I thought in Justice League we got Cavill like acting for the first time. Like he was like being kind of cute and funny. Like
he was playing a guy that we've never seen before.
Right, exactly.
And you're supposed to be happy that he's back. Yeah. But it's like, but I've never seen him.
Right.
That I don't know who this guy is. Like, I think there was like an article that said in Batman vs. Superman, he has like less than like 550 words. He has less words than Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2. You know what I mean?
That like, makes, yeah, that's fucking insane.
So it's like, who are you? And all these people, like the whole movie is about a team that gets together because they can't do things alone. And then they're like, oh, we can't even do this together. Let's bring this other guy back.
Who can do it alone?
It's so dumb. So logically, it just doesn't make sense. And then when you, like, I know I shouldn't even think of these things. And if I really wanted to make my head hurt, I would think about the X-Men continuity in those films and how, you know, Tyler Mayne, who wrestled as Big Sky in WCW, somehow in 1999, goes back to being Liev Schreiber in 1983 as Sabretooth. It makes no sense. Now there's two toads. One's green, one isn't. Two blobs. One is the dude from Lost. The other is a fat German guy who dies.
There's been a handful of gambits. There's been...
yeah.
Wait, just to jump to the X-Men movies real quick. Age of Apocalypse. This movie is... so insane. I can't put, and that hurts me the most because if we're talking purely fanboy heart, X-Men is what got me into comics.
But who's Apocalypse in that movie? That's, you know, it's like, yeah. Who are these characters?
Who are any of the even characters in the movie? Like, the yeah. X-Men themselves, you're like,
yeah.
I'm like, but the craziest thing about that whole movie to me is the end scene, they're doing the classic, everybody shoot the bad guy at the same time. So Cyclops is doing his eyes, Storm, everyone's doing their thing.
Oh, it's super Care Bear stare.
Yeah, and then Beast just leaps off of a building with like a flying punch. I'm like, nothing is working. Why would you add yourself? Also, it seems like Cyclops' blast might be bad for Beast. Like, don't just leap in. And I'm like, who's writing? Like, there's no fight choreography. Like, you understand their powers. Like, I want to see the fucking, what was it called? The Speedball Special? Like, let's do some
fastball
shit.
Special.
Fastball
yeah,
Special. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, also, Cyclops.
When I just said that, by the way, Mike ripped the poster down.
Speedball is a character in the right. New Warriors. Yeah. Also, yeah, his force beams, his force optic blasts leave smoke. And I'm like, no.
It's
they're
a laser.
Force, they're not heat. lots of things can bother me.
Turns
but yeah,
out.
With Justice League, I just, like, if you look back to Man of Steel, which no one should, but it's like in that world, you're meant to believe that Superman is the first hero to ever be on this planet. Zod, who is a great villain, I would say. Michael Shannon is awesome.
He was great.
He has a great motivation. My people are dying, and we need to survive, and I'm a general, and it's my job to do what's right for my people. I think that was better than most Marvel movie villains.
Yeah.
So I'll give that credit. If you don't think I'll give any credit, that there's some. But, but what the problem is that he even declares to Earth, like, you know, give us the Kryptonian in 24 hours. Then he puts these conversion machines all over the planet that are meant to destroy the Earth so that it's inhabitable for Kryptonians on a world that we have no idea at the time has Amazonians that do nothing,
right.
Has Atlanteans that do nothing. Some of those machines are in the water. Has a Batman that's been doing this for 20 years that's fought the Penguin, who in Batman vs. Superman we see was just on business as Bruce Wayne.
I know, and he's like, oh. That,
after Zod declared war on the Earth? So, like, what the fuck is going on here?
One of those conversion machines landed in or around Gotham as well,
yeah.
As major cities in the DC. Yeah, that's really, I didn't even think of that. That's what I always joke about with the Marvel Netflix shows, when it's like, yeah, they all take place in New York City, and they're like, yeah, since the incident, it's like, hey, how come none of you superheroes stopped 9/11? It's like, yeah. Like, they keep talking about the incident that happened in New York City, and it's like, guys, you can't, like, that's the one thing you run into with issues with Marvel, since they take place in America.
Also, how many incidents have happened since then?
I know. And people were pouring into New York. Bad guys were pouring into New York fighting good guys. And all of these people were just sort of like, oh, I'm just the budding little special person. I'm not going to do anything just yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, DC, they're in a bad place because Justice League underperformed. Like, Justice League should have made more money than the Avengers. Like, there's no question. These are more iconic characters.
Right.
This is, you know, Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. And, you know, like, what they did with Wonder Woman is a success. Like, so, I want to talk positive stuff, too.
Let's talk, because I enjoyed the Wonder Woman movie.
I thought it was mediocre.
Right.
You know, I think that it's important for women to see themselves on screen as this badass superhero, and maybe they'll get that with Captain Marvel. Right. I just thought that she was a doofus.
Like, it was kind of weird how this is like an Amazonian woman, and like you're saying, it's like this icon for women, and then like her whole movie is like, what about Chris Pine? I'm like worried about
this. She's trying out clothes.
Yeah.
Like, it's 1917, so they couldn't do a Walking on Sunshine montage, right. But you know, they wanted to. But at the same time, like, the No Man's Land scene is awesome, and it was hugely successful. You know, like,
and Gal Gadot is a fucking talent.
She's
like,
awesome.
Yeah,
and it made more money its opening weekend in America than Justice League did, which means that there were women that saw it who then were like, oh, she's in her own movie? We're not going to see that. And it's like, and DC just has no overall direction, I don't think, because it's like when you look at the first ever trailer for Justice League, she's not in it that much at all.
Yeah, I don't think they knew what they had on their hands. They assumed,
but they weren't even planning on it. You know what I mean?
Which is upsetting, yeah.
And it's crazy because I think that first trailer came out before the Wonder Woman movie did, and it's like, why wouldn't you have her in that trailer a lot to then even sell more Wonder tickets Woman? For Wonder Woman? Like, you better go see this because she's going to be in this.
Right, because that's kind of like how they got you to go see Thor originally. It was like, he's in an Avengers movie. You got to go see this Thor movie and loop back around, learn some new info. Yeah, what? Why? But DC is abolishing the extended universe already, or they say they are, at least.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean,
but revamping it?
I just don't think, like, there's even, like, an editorial mandate in a way of, you know, like, I was reading this article, and the title was literally, like, James Wan says, you know, no talking bubbles needed in his Aquaman. So he was, like, in the, there's a scene in Justice League with Mara
and Aquaman. They do
where she has to make a bubble so they could talk. He's like, yeah, we're not doing that. They're going to be talking underwater. But it's like when your director of Aquaman is already like, I'm not even following what you guys are doing. Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Right.
Over the bubbles?
I wanted to like Aquaman so bad because I want to like Drogo. I was like, oh, this is cool. There hasn't been an underwater movie yet. It's all been like Marvel's so heavy on space.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is so interesting. I can't wait. And then like I watched that movie and I was like, oh my God, I'm having a really hard. He looks
he's
like
Poochie.
Yeah, he's Poochie.
He all is. Right.
Yeah, they added him and he's kind of like, but again, with the Aquaman, he's like serious. He's so serious in the beginning of the movie as like the guy who brings fish to a village.
Yeah.
And then he's like a drunk. Then he's kind of silly. Then he's kind of like pro teen. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know what the Aquaman movie is going to be.
Because I don't know who he is.
Right.
Like, that's where we keep going back with this. But it's like, who are these people?
Why not just make Aquaman like a fucking surfer dude, like bum, and because he left Atlanteans and all that, or just some justification as to why he does anything? Because now before I saw Justice League, was like, of course I'm going to see Justice League, and I'm actually kind of excited about Aquaman. Then I saw Justice League, and now I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to go see Aquaman.
Yeah. I think like Flash and Cyborg like kind of were like the best characters because they were simple. I liked the graveyard scene with them.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, they're these two kind of outcast characters and stuff.
And that felt like a Marvel scene.
That's probably a Whedon reshoot. Yeah.
Right. It felt like, because it was like charming and they were being real, but they were doing something like that mattered. Like it's just like it's rare you see that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was like, but even that Flash, it's so weird that you have the Flash TV show, and in the Flash TV show, they use this, you know, I know Jeff Johns is probably the closest to, like,
Kevin Feige.
Yeah, and he sucks. He's one of the most overrated comic book writers.
Dude, I've seen him, like, in person interviews a few times at our, on Justin Tyler's Comic Book Club podcast way back in the day, and I was like, this guy is a jerk. And then when I saw him get like announced as like the head of all, I was like, oh, that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, he's like good at adding the things that are already there. You know, like he's the one who was like, why don't everyone get Green Lantern rings? You get a ring.
Yeah.
And it's red because you're angry. And like, it's not a bad idea.
Right.
You know, he wrote on the Flash years ago, the Wally West Flash, and it was awesome. And then he was like, oh, I guess we got to bring Barry back, which, like, Barry has never had the personality Wally does.
Right.
Wally's a much more interesting character because Wally West was the Flash's sidekick, was Barry Allen's sidekick, and his whole thing was like, how do I make a name for myself and escape the shadow of this beloved guy?
Right.
But then it's like, Barry Allen was like, I'm a beloved guy. It's not as interesting. So then they're like, well, why don't we make him sad? So now, you know, I think it was since like around Flashpoint that they did this retcon where his mother was murdered by like Zoom and the father is framed for it.
Right.
And they did that in the TV show. And it's like, not everyone needs to be tragic.
Like, right. And that's, I think that's what Marvel does right, is that it's like not everyone's coming from like a terrible fucking place. Like Justice League, when you just like watch every, when they show that slow pan of everyone across when they're squaring up against Superman, you're like, every one of these people has had someone close to them die within this movie or a previous movie.
Yeah.
The reason that all of them are doing this is for revenge.
Well, and that's like, you know, like I think like the Captain America origin works. I mean, basically, yes, I'll take steroids, but it's but it's the idea that like I want to be doing more for my country. Right. And, you know, like, I mean, the tragedy is, you know, Professor Erskine dies, but at the same time, it's like this guy was willing to do whatever it took to
And help. Yeah. And then maybe Bucky dies or people he knew are dead. That's the tragedy. But it's like secondhand to his origin story.
But he becomes Captain America because, you know, this sacrifice in the first place. Like, that's why I love the Fantastic Four, but I think that it's hard for modern audiences to relate to because it's utterly selfless and we're all selfish people now.
Right.
But it's this thing of like, let us explore and see what is out there. And
we
then,
have the capabilities.
Yeah.
Allow us to do this good for you.
And even though the thing becomes a monster, he was a good person to begin with. In the comics, you know, in 1961 when they premiered, like he was already a fighter pilot, like in the World War II,
right?
Like, as just Ben Grimm, he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna help people because I just want to help people." Like,
yeah, and that's like, and DC is everyone is just turning away from a murder scene that they just witnessed, and then on an outfit.
I say the beginning of the DCU's problems was making Pa Kent an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, him saying maybe you shouldn't have saved those kids. It's like, I don't want to watch that.
Right. Yeah, that feels weird. That feels unnecessary. Now, do you think the DC universe is kicking themselves in the ass for not giving Nolan like $1 billion a decade ago and being like,
no, you're in charge?
Because like, no movies have touched comic book movies on either side, I feel like, have gotten to the like level of the Dark Knight.
Well, Dark Knight Rises is a piece of garbage to begin with.
That's the third one?
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. So he was already kind of cooked, if you ask me. Dark Knight is great. But yeah, I mean, none of them have touched that because I think, like, at the end of the day, Nolan was like, let's make a good movie.
Right.
And I think he even tried that with Rises. It just wasn't.
Right.
And now it's let's sell merchandise.
Yeah, and let's make a movie that will sell us three more movies.
Yeah, and you know, so it's the difference between watching Coco and Cars.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Cars is, we just gotta, here's a bunch of new characters.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. It's like you're watching The Ride in the theater instead of like
yeah. And so like I said, Ragnarok I think did a good job of integrating it of like, yeah, we need new characters. And they put, you know, most of them did a good job of, like, blending into the story. I thought Valkyrie was cool.
Yeah.
You know, Grandmaster was cool, but
Goldblum was fucking real. I mean, Grandmaster was a fun character, but Goldblum was so good. Like, he's just being so extra himself. It was so enjoyable.
I mean, DC cut scenes featuring Willem Dafoe. You know, he's supposed to play Volko in the Aquaman movie. And it's weird, too, that it's like Aquaman's your next movie. And you cut all these scenes.
And Willem Dafoe is fucking Willem Dafoe. You got Willem Dafoe in your movie. You want to get people excited.
Yeah.
They'll go see. I just saw Murder on the Orient Express, which was maybe the worst movie I've seen in a long time. But the fact that Willem Dafoe is in it is like remotely redeeming. The thing that keeps it from being absolutely dead boring is that Willem Dafoe is in it.
Johnny Depp's got to be really careful. You know, it's like, we know you beat your wife. You got to make some really good movies now.
I thought, you know, he walked out. I was watching it with my friends Mike and Nick, and I was like, the second Johnny Depp walked out, I'm like, ooh, he's a joke in that I want to laugh at him, but I'm uncomfortable that he's in this movie. And then he's playing a scumbag, and he's dressed like he is. Like he's wearing, like his character's wearing a bunch of rings and like weird. And I'm like, oh my God, he's combining the art and the artist. Like he's making you hate his character in this movie. Yeah.
Well, I think his, like, you know, like his team was like, hey man, people are starting to really think you did this. He's like, all right, Pirates 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Do another Pirates. Make them forget. You know, it's like, dude,
no,
like, you do Mordecai 2, you're getting arrested. You got to make something good, buddy.
The Fantastic Beast people are calling. They
J.K. Rowling was like, yeah, it's cool. She was like, man, I'll allow it. I mean, that's literally an article that came out.
Fuck, it's so fucking weird. Before we get out of here, I just, because while I have you on record, let's talk a little bit about Suicide Squad, because you forget that that's a DC movie. I will say I couldn't believe the movie had so many things that were crazy about it. But for me, it was almost enough that it just had Will Smith doing an action comedy. Like, it was almost enough that he, like,
as Will Smith,
that's all I want Will Smith to do is just like make those movies again. And he hasn't done them in forever. He's done so much serious stuff.
Yeah.
And then just seeing him in this movie, I was like, oh, what are it? But of course he's surrounded by 20 characters that I don't give a fuck about. And
not even a rap song. Oh my God, it's the Suicide Squad.
They had fucking 8 guys on the Suicide Squad team who also then brought 10 Navy SEALs on the mission. It's like, how many fucking people do we need in this movie?
Can't they fight Seagal?
Right. When they,
Bogosian's not around anymore to sick him. Sick him on Seagal.
And they bring out the guy like Ripcord or whatever his name is, and he's like so added so late, and you're like,
oh, Slipknot?
Yeah, Slipknot. And they're like, we're gonna kill somebody, and I'm like, oh, it's you. He like calls a woman a bitch. He like
he's Native American. Right, like, yeah, he's got lots of reasons he was going to die.
Killer Croc is like in a hoodie and wants BET, and it's like, that's really upsetting to me for some reason. El Diablo is like such a vato. It's like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite thing about that movie was like Jared Leto like bragging to everyone about his performance, and it's like, I think he must have really pissed off the editor. Because they're like, oh, you want to send us rat feces? Well, here you go. 6 minutes.
That's what I thought was crazy. I think my wife watched it with me, and she only knew about the press around it beforehand. She goes, wasn't he the one that was like so in character? And I was like, yeah. She goes, he's not even in this goddamn movie. I go, that's what makes it even crazier.
I'm the Joker. Like, oh. It was like, you had like, I remember there was an argument that's like, Viola Davis is having none of Jared Leto's shit.
Yeah, I believe that.
Oh, that, I mean, I would rather watch that than the movie, just him being like, hello there, Viola. And she's like, shut up, Jared.
He's closing her dressing room door in his face over and over again.
Well, that movie was like a free for all where I think, like, I mean, she was really good in it. Like,
she was I loved her. I loved Will Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, there were moments in it that, like, because people are like, this one's the worst. I'm like, no, Batman vs. Superman is way worse than that.
Yeah, because there's something redeemed, and I think it helped Suicide Squad to have 8 characters, because you could be like, if I hate 6 of them, at least there's 2 I'm excited to see.
There's nothing as dumb as the Martha thing.
Oh, there's nothing. And people go into bat for that. Like, I get it. Like, you like the movie. That's fine. I've liked so much garbage in my life, and I swear by so much garbage. But, like, I'm not about to go to bat for, like, no, the Martha thing was really... Like, it's almost like as if they're, like, not a lot of people put that together over the course of the DC universe.
Well, that was, like, this proud brag when the reality was Jew kids just didn't talk to each other when they created this stuff.
Right, right.
Like, I just don't think Bill Finger was talking to, you know what it probably was, where it came from, if I Bill Finger no Bob Kane, but I think what it probably was that because Batman is 1939 and Superman is 1938, and they're purposely trying to sell it to, you know, national periodicals, which was DC at the time. They're probably like, let's just call her Martha. Like,
right.
They'll probably sell better. Like, that's, they obviously like Martha. Here's right. Martha, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And
it wasn't like this grand design, or maybe that was just the most popular name in the late 30s.
That's what I was going to say, is that that was probably a matter of like, I know a lot of Marthas, so the character's name is Martha.
Yeah.
And then 80 years later, they're like, imagine if they actually had that conversation.
You go to any theme park, and there's nothing but Martha and Bort license plates.
No, my son's name is also Bort.
My mother's name is also Martha. That's literally what I said when I saw it.
Martha, my mom's name is also Martha. Did someone say Martha? No, I was talking to my son.
Because also, who would say that? Like, you'd be like, Mom.
Right.
No one referring. I wouldn't be like, Alice.
Joanne. Wait, who's Joanne? My mom's name is Joanne. Oh, Joanne is my wife. Oh, okay. Well, moving on.
That's the owner of my favorite fabric store.
Joe-Ann.
Rag shop. Thor Ragna shop.
Thor American rag de shop. Mike, thanks so much for coming on.
High Mighty. This
is fun. Oh yeah, please. What are we pumped about Black Panther? I'm pretty stoked based on the trailer.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think that it's been different enough. Both trailers have been really good. And I say that's it. I know they're going to do another.
Please, they're going to give us one more in the new year, and I'm like less than thrilled about it.
Yeah.
I'm just let me go to the movie. A few movies recently, like The Shape of Water, I've managed to not see anything about by accident, and I'm like actively maintaining that. I'm like, oh, this would be a fun experience. A movie I know I'm going to see because it's GDT, whatever. I'm going to go see it. I haven't even watched a trailer for Phantom Thread either. I'm like, I'm going to go see this movie. Let me just not know anything about it. And it's been such a weird thing to try to avoid also.
Yeah.
They like autoplay when you open up IMDb. I'm like, what's that actress's name? And it just opens to a fucking trailer playing. Yeah. I'm like, I can't even.
The exact spoiler. Right. Yeah. I saw The Shape of Water trailer and I haven't seen the film yet, but I did see it because I saw the trailer.
Right.
I mean, and once again, it's in narrative form.
I hate that shit.
At least do it out of sequence. Right.
Please let me not know when things are going to happen. That's like the one I remember the most is The Nice Guys that Shane Black. Yeah, I saw the trailer and I was like, they showed like three things that were like physical action / punchlines. Yeah. And the movie had a lot of funny. I'm like, but if I didn't know those three ahead of time, I would have been laughing even louder and enjoying it even more.
Well, that's, you know, one of the, you know, the last thing about Suicide Squad. What I heard was that they let the that first trailer was such a hit, the one with Bohemian Rhapsody and all that, that they just let them then edit the movie.
Yeah, they gave them like whole sequences to edit, and then that's why the movie features five classic rock songs over montage, like dialogue.
But only in the first 30 minutes. It's like they run out of rights fees.
Suicide Squad has a like $6 million soundtrack. It's exclusively the biggest classic rock songs of all time.
Yeah.
Mike, what's your Twitter handle if people want to tweet at us about how wrong we were?
At the Mike Lawrence.
At the Mike Lawrence. Mike, do you have anything you want to plug in this? Anything we should check out?
Yeah, I'll be at the Dead Crow Comedy Club February 2nd and 3rd in Wilmington, North Carolina. So check that out.
Oh, check it out. Get there, people. As always, I'm at John Gabris on Twitter. Tweet at us your issues with the MCU or DCEU. Or don't, you know, just move on and go see some other movies. And buy yourself shirts at gabris.com/shirts. Check out the Action Boys podcast. And other than that, bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.